Shunyavadi, Paschatya Deshatarine. Today is the appearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the version of the songbook according to the Veda base, 1978 through 1996. There was a essay entitled A Glimpse into the Life of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, and I'd like to read that. Thakur Bhaktivinoda led a life of incessant labor and activity for Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He effected such immense good in the world that his work is only to be compared with the unbounded works of Sri Chaitanya himself and the Goswamis. Of course, the Goswami means the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Sri Rup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jeev Gopal Bhatta Das Raghunath. It was the spiritual attempts and divine writings of this individual that turned the scale and led the intelligent and educated community to believe in the noble precepts and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. If we look back one century, we cannot but be astonished to find how degraded was the condition of the Vaishnava faith, which had its pure origin in the deep and majestic spiritual philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even vastly learned pundits could not fathom the super excellent precepts of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. Yet, due to incredulity, born of the ignorance of uncultured men, the Vaishnava faith had been degraded and was considered a beggar's excuse for living at the expense of society. And those of us who joined this movement during the Prabhupada era, when we would go out chanting on the streets, or when we would go out to distribute books, we were also accused many times like that. Get a job. So history repeats itself. It was by sheer love for the Godhead that Thakur Bhaktivinoda expounded the deep philosophy which had remained concealed in the pages of the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Puranas, and the Bhagavatam. By his action toward divine service, and also by his words set in simple language to be easily understood by readers in general, he has given this philosophy to the world. And we see Prabhupada also, in his Bhaktivedanta purports, has explained such difficult subject matter and made it understandable so that anyone who reads Prabhupada's books can understand this very deep philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It is his writings and his divine unparalleled character that have helped to produce a class of educated and enlightened men who are now proud of their Vaishnava faith and of their acquisition of the spiritual knowledge of the pure and sublime philosophy of Krishna, on which the stern teachings of Sri Chaitanya are based. I believe in context of the previous comment, at one time Prabhupada said that he has to think very carefully how to compose the Bhaktivedanta purport. Translating is easy, but he had to think how to write these Bhaktivedanta purports. So it's also on that same point. How to write it in such a way that anyone can easily understand. Though born in opulent circumstances on September 2nd, 1838, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, who was given the name Kedaranath Dutt, had to meet many difficulties in his early life. His childhood was spent at his maternal grandfather's house at Birnagar, Ulagram, from where he came to Calcutta at the age of 13 after the death of his father. After he completed his education, he was requested to be present at the time of his paternal grandfather's death. His grandfather, Raja Vallabhadutt, had been a famous personality of Calcutta and had retired to a lonely place in Orissa to spend his last days as an ascetic. He could predict the future and knew when he would die, since he could commune with supernatural beings. Thakur Bhaktivinoda was present at the eventful time when that great soul passed away, and after receiving his grandfather's instructions, he visited all of the major temples and ashrams of the state of Orissa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur then entered the educational service and introduced English education into the state of Orissa for the first time. He wrote a small book about all the ashrams of the state and mentioned an ashram which was on his ancestors' property. Quote, "I have a small village, Choti Manglapur, in the country of Orissa, of which I am the proprietor," he wrote. "In that village is a religious house, which was granted by my predecessors to the holy men as a holding of rent-free land. The head of the institution entirely gave up entertaining such men as chanced to seek shelter on a rainy night. This came to my notice, and I administer a severe threat that his lands would be cruelly resumed if in the future complaints of inhospitality were brought to my knowledge." Bhaktivinoda Thakur later took to the government service and was transferred to Bengal. In one town, he gave an historic speech on the Srimad Bhagavatam, which attracted the attention of thousands. He made the world known what hidden treasures pervade every page of the Bhagavatam, which should be read by all persons having a philosophical turn of mind. He was transferred some years later to a town called Champaran. In this town there was a Brahmadaitya living in a great banyan tree, and he was being worshipped by many degraded people. A Brahmadaitya is a type of ghost. One day, the father of a famous girl scholar came to Bhaktivinoda for alms, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur at once employed him in reading the Bhagavatam under the shade of the banyan tree, which was the abode of the ghost. After 1 month, the Bhagavatam was completed, and then and there the tree crashed to the ground, and the ghost was gone for good. Everyone was thankful for this act, except for the few dishonest persons who were worshipping the ghost. Bhaktivinoda's next move was to Puri. The government commissioner was much pleased to get him in his division and asked him to watch the affairs of the temple of Jagannath on behalf of the government. It was through Bhaktivinoda's exertions that many malpractices were checked, and the time for the offering of foods before the deity was regulated to its extreme punctuality. And I believe Prabhupada himself also emphasized that deity worship in his temples should be very clean and very punctual. Thakur Bhaktivinoda was especially entrusted to quell the rise against the government of one Bhishikeshen, who declared himself to be an incarnation of Mahavishnu. During the course of his investigation, Thakur Bhaktivinoda found him to be a hoax and a culprit and charged him with transgressing government injunctions. After his trial, the fellow was sentenced to imprisonment for a year and a half, but he died shortly after in jail. This man was really possessed of unnatural powers. But as they were the outcome of non-spiritual practices, he had to submit to the Thakur when the latter wanted him to do so. And Bhishikeshen was held in dread by the common people, and everyone warned Srila Bhaktivinoda not to admonish him, even for the sake of justice, in view of the serious consequences that the yogi would inflict. And we see nowadays a perverted reflection of this. Nowadays, in many parts of our country, in crime-ridden areas, even though a good citizen might actually see someone commit a murder or a serious crime, they're very afraid to report to the authorities because they fear that the criminal and his disciples will then kill them. This is a very serious problem. People won't testify in court because they know that they may be killed. I heard one story a year or two ago from His Holiness Guru Prasad Swami that he knew of one very wealthy family, and I think they had something, they were devotees of some sort or had some connection with devotees. And that exactly happened to them, that one of their family members had to testify, and as a result, many of the family members were killed right after that. So it appears that the legacy of the Godfather is true. But although the Thakur was not a man of ostentation and did not allow people to know his true qualities and spiritual strength, he easily cut down the demoniac power of the impostor. With the fall of Bhishikesen, there rose an impostor Balaram at another village, and there were also other so-called incarnations of God, but their plans were similarly frustrated. During his stay at Jagannath Puri, Thakur Bhaktivinoda devoted much of his time to the discussion of spiritual works and prepared notes on the Vedanta Sutras, which were published with the commentaries of Baladev Vijibhushan. And that's who Prabhupada dedicated his Bhagavad Gita to, was this Baladev Vijibhushan. He also composed the Kalyana Kalpataru, from which the song Vibhavari Shesha, one selection, appears in this book. This may very truly be termed an immortal work, and it stands on the same level as the divine writings of Narottam Das Thakur. In 1877, he left Puri on government service, and in 1881, he started a well-known spiritual journal called the Sajjana Toshini, or the Satisfaction of Pure Devotees. He also published the Sri Krishna Sanghita, which revealed to the world the underlying philosophy explaining the spiritual existence of Krishna. This book opened the eyes of educated people to teach them their true relationship with God. It also attracted the admiration of many German scholars, for although the public regarded Krishna as a poetic creation of erotic nature, Srila Bhaktivinoda revealed Krishna as Parabrahman, the supreme transcendental person, the absolute being, on the basis of Vedic evidence. At the close of his stay at the village of Narayal, he visited Vrindavan. There he had to encounter a band of dacoits known as Kanjaras. These powerful bandits spread all over the road surrounding the holy place and used to attack innocent pilgrims. Suvas Prabhu, you have been to Vrindavan within recent times, right? Do you go every year? So can you confirm that even now today, Vrindavan is overrun by gundas and dacoits. Would you, is that?
Yes.
Yes. That there's a mafia even in Vrindavan.
It was understood that the area that Srila Prabhupada built the Krishna Balaram Mandir was actually their place of residence. It was in the outskirts of Vrindavan. So it was their place of residence. And when Prabhupada came there, he was warned that you should not build a temple here due to the fact that there are a lot of miscreants that lived in that area. So Prabhupada didn't care. And he built the temple anyway. And he has transformed it by building Krishna Balaram Mandir to some extent. But no, they are in full force.
So it's still Gundadam.
I don't know if I'm Gundadam, but I do want to say yes. There are a lot of people like that in Vrindavan.
Yes.
From this time on, Thakur Bhaktivinoda preached extensively in large gatherings, explaining all of the precepts of the Sankirtan of the holy names. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. While staying at Barasat, Thakur Bhaktivinod met the famous Bengali writer Bunki Machandra. This novelist and playwright had just finished writing a book on Krishna, and knowing Srila Bhaktivinod to be an authority on topics of Krishna, he gave the manuscript to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to see. It was full of mundane Western stylized speculations and ideas, but after 4 days of discussion, Bhaktivinoda had the whole text revised by Bunki Machandra to accommodate the pure supra-mundane precepts of Lord Chaitanya. During his last year at Barasat, Bhaktivinoda was requested by a noted high court judge to publish an authoritative edition of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita with the commentaries of Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as well as his own Bhaktivinoda's translation. The preface, written by Bunki Machandra, expressed his gratitude to the Thakur for his endeavor, and when it was published, the copies were soon exhausted. Then Thakur Bhaktivinoda published a unique work entitled Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, The Nectarian Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which dealt with Lord Chaitanya's theistic philosophy and the philosophies of the Western speculators. This book defeats every other philosophy point for point and establishes the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya as supreme. In 1885, he started a society named Sri Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha for the propagation of pure Hari Bhakti. Many eminent citizens of Calcutta joined the society, and several committees were organized with assigned duties. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so anxious to see the land of Lord Chaitanya that he applied many times for a transfer to any town nearby. Upon not receiving the desired transfer, he formally submitted a resignation from public service, but it was refused. Then, to his great rejoicing, he obtained a transfer to Krishnanagar, 25 miles from Navadvip, Mayapur. Once stationed at a place near Navadvip, he did not let a single free moment pass without visiting the land of Navadvip. He at once made inquiries about the exact whereabouts of the different places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He soon discovered that the then city of Navadvip was a town of only 100 years standing, so he was curious to locate the actual birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. He was convinced that the town of Navadvip was not the authentic location, and he at once commenced a vigorous inquiry to find the truth of the matter. But he could not easily escape from the people who tried to make him believe that the birthplace of Chaitanya was at that town. Then, after careful inquiry, he was told that the site was lost under the shifting course of the Ganges. Not satisfied with this explanation, he himself set out to discover the Yogapit, the birthplace. After great difficulties, he came to know of a place which was being adored by many realized souls as the true birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and which was then in the possession of the Mohammedans. Local inquiry and corroborative evidence from ancient maps of the latter part of the 18th century, which showed the name Sri Mayapur, at last helped him to discover the real site of the birthplace. The discovery led to the publishing of a valuable work called Navadvip Dham Mahatya. The year 1895 was the most eventful year in the history of the Vaishnava world, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the prime mover of the events. It was in this year that he officially memorialized the birth site of Sri Chaitanya and brought its true identity and importance before the public eye. Thousands of visitors were present at a function held at that spot. Just after retiring from government service, Thakur Bhaktivinoda himself, in a spirit of perfect humility and with a view to giving a firm standing to the discovery, went from door to door to raise funds for a temple. In the Amrita Bazar Patrika newspaper, on December 6, 1894, the following article appeared, quote, Babu Kedarnath Dutt, the distinguished deputy magistrate, who has just retired from the service, is one of the most active members. Indeed, Babu Kedarnath Dutt has been deputed by his committee to raise subscriptions in Calcutta and elsewhere, and is determined to go from house to house if necessary and beg a rupee from each Hindu gentleman for the noble purpose. If Babu Kedarnath Dutt sticks to his resolution of going around with a bag in hand, we hope that no Hindu gentleman whose house may be honored by the presence of such a devout bhakta as Babu Kedarnath will send him away without contributing his mite, however humble it may be, to the Gaura Vishnupriya Temple Fund. Truly, Thakur Bhaktivinoda honored the houses of many persons for the fulfillment of the noble project he had undertaken. He went to persons to whom he had not gone for any purpose but for this mission of Lord Chaitanya, and his efforts were not fruitless, since the sum collected contributed to the construction of a building on the holy site of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. The work of preaching the holy name was also in full swing, and it spread fast into the distant corners of the globe. The Gauranga Smarana Mangala Stotra, with a preface in English containing the life and precepts of Sri Chaitanya, came out from Bhaktivinoda's pen soon after the discovery of Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, and found its place in the all-learned institutions of both hemispheres. The more the names of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna were preached, the merrier was Thakur Bhaktivinoda. He thereafter made annotations of Sri Brahma Sanghita and Sri Krishna Karnamrita, and gave to the world his immortal and precious works, Sri Harinam Chintamani and Bhajana Rahasya. He also edited, with commentary, Srimad Bhagavatarka Maricha Mala, which contains all the most important shlokas of the Srimad Bhagavatam pertaining to the Vaishnava philosophy. His pen never tired, and it produced many other Vaishnava philosophical works. He would begin his writings very late at night after completing his government work, and stay up until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning composing songs and literatures. Most of his works appeared in the Sajjana Toshini magazine. He was equally engaged in writing and in preaching the holy name in many districts of Bengal. His personal appearances at villages had marvelous effects on the people. To maintain the center at Nadia, he built a house at Sri Godrumadweep, which is called Sri Svananda Sukada Kunj. Here in this abode, the preaching of Harinam continued in full swing. It was at the beginning of the 20th century that he chose to live at Puri and build a house on the beachfront there. Many honest souls sought his blessings and readily obtained them when he accepted the renounced order of life by taking Babaji initiation from Srila Gorakishore Das Babaji in 1908. Though he was leading the life of a renounced soul, he could not avoid the men of all description who constantly visited him. All of them received oceans of spiritual training, instructions, and blessings. In 1910, he shut himself up and remained in a perfect state of samadhi, or full concentration on the eternal pastimes of the Lord. In 1914, he passed on to the blissful realm of Goloka on the day which is observed as the disappearance day of Sri Gadadhar. Here we quote a stanza written about the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, which Srila Bhaktivinoda wrote sometime in 1871, to explain what influence a Vaishnava carries in this world after his departure. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die, when thou art living still and sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around. Srila Bhaktivinoda predicted, quote, soon there will appear a personality who will preach the holy name of Hari all over the world. It is clearly understood that His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is that personality. I offer my prostrated obeisances, first, unto all the devotees who have surrendered unto His divine lotus feet, and next unto the devotees who will in the future take shelter of His lotus feet, and then offer my humble obeisances unto His lotus feet again and again. May He bless this first translation attempt so that it may be accepted by Lord Sri Krishna, and may He engage me in the service of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya, and Radharani. Achyutananda Swami, August 20th, 1972, Disappearance Day of Srila Rupa Goswami, Radha Damodar Temple, Seva Kunj, Vrindavan. And I'd just like to read the mantra that glorifies Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that we chanted, if it's here, Sri Gorakishore, here it is, okay. Namo Bhaktivinodaya Sachit Ananda Namane Gora Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sachit Ananda Bhaktivinoda, who is transcendental energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a strict follower of the Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa. So, if there's anybody that would like to say anything in glorification of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they can do so at this time.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we see that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur displayed this ability to see the future, and ISKCON is a prime, has many prime examples that bear fruit, you know, the fruit of his prediction. Sitting on his porch across the Jalangi, he said he predicted the rise of the Mayapur project, and specifically predicted the fact that so many foreign devotees, foreign-born, he specifically named America, Russia, France, Germany, devotees from all these countries would come to this spot and as spiritual brothers chant the holy names of the Lord. And we see that this is going on full force. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai.
Jai.
I think it's pretty interesting that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj had 11 children. And that's a handful. That's like a football team. And what was incredible was that he was able to really inspire within them Krishna consciousness, all of them. I mean, you can just see how hard it is to just get one person that's close to you to become Krishna conscious. Or closer, far away, doesn't matter. But to make somebody, just one person, Krishna conscious is a lifetime of you know, endeavor, intense endeavor. And he had 11 children, and they were all inspired and motivated for Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, we note that he was able to sleep very little, you know, just several hours a night, and do a full-time job. You know, work a 40-hour week, and not just ordinary work, but, you know, high, intense type of thinking. He was a magistrate. That means that he had to really know law, and we know how boring that is. I mean, just trying to read a legal document. Sometimes I get a legal document, I can barely read through half of one page. I just can't even figure it out. And we see in modern age, you know, just to be a lawyer, you have to go to school for so many years. So what to speak of in being a magistrate in India? It must have been incredibly difficult. So here he is sleeping a few hours a day, being a magistrate during the day, and then getting up very early in the middle of the night, like midnight, and writing books. And you know, these are very complicated books. As you just mentioned at the beginning, that Srila Prabhupada was very cautious in every word that he wrote in his purports, what to speak of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So the example is that he's not like an ordinary soul by any means, that his position was so extremely elevated that for us, it's almost inconceivable how one person could actually be like that. How, you know, today, if somebody works 40, 50 hours a week, you know, after a certain amount of years, the whole family divorces him because, you know, he's like a workaholic. You know, nobody can tolerate him because he's never around. But this person had 11 children, slept a few hours a night, you know, and worked, but they all loved him. What an inconceivable person Bhaktivinoda Thakur must have been.
Anyone else?
Hare Krishna. So I always find it interesting that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he's pictured here without a Brahmin's thread. And he was also, he did this to, because he wanted to establish that Vaishnavas are far superior to the caste brahmanas, and he worked very intensely to establish this fact, because the caste brahmanas at that time were not following appropriately and setting a bad example. So Srila Bhaktivinoda, he established that one should be a Vaishnava, and this was above, and there were debates that he would attend, and he would defeat everyone on the principle of that the Vaishnavas are much more dear to Krishna. and the principles of Lord Chaitanya, Naham Bipro Nachananap Narapatir Napi Vaishana Shudro, that Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not these designations. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur worked very hard, because we see this mood still very prevalent in India, that if, for instance, as we all, whoever goes to India, where they experience that if you're from the West, you can't enter certain temples because you're not considered, you know, a Hindu, a proper Hindu. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta also followed in the same line. One time Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was ill, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta attended and gave the talk for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and defeated all of the brahmanas present. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very, very pleased with that service that his son had performed. Hare Krishna.
I would like to hear Shukadev say something about Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur sets a wonderful example for householders, in that he was very regulated, going to bed early, rising early, compiling so many books. Not only were they just philosophically sound and transcendental, but also very, very poetic. As we see from the different songs that Bhaktivinoda Thakur presented. So when we read about him, it is a great inspiration that he was a householder, he was a writer, he was a poet, he was completely transcendental. His schedule was very daunting, in that when he had work that he had to be done, he was very, very expert. The workload that he was given, all the other judges, they were amazed that he was able to finish his work so quickly. So not only was he completely transcendental, but he was very expert in everything that he did, expert. So we hear about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is a tremendous inspiration for us not to waste any time and to use everything for Krishna.
Thank you. Suvas and Archita have points to make. And then after them, I would like Amala Bhakta to say something about Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Yeah, I just want to say that I was just at his Bhaktivinoda Thakur's home in Navadvip this last time. And just reminded me that when we went into his bedroom, first of all, you could open this window and there you could see Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to look out that window. There's a veranda there also. So you can go on that veranda and you can just look towards where Srila Prabhupada Samadhi is. And it just kind of makes you think about the prediction that he made, that one day there would be this international society where people would come from all faiths from around the world. And it just kind of inspires you, kind of makes your hair stand on end to look out that window and see Srila Prabhupada Samadhi and our Mayapur temple. And then what was also very wonderful was that not only did he have all these qualities, but he's also a scientist. Because when you go into his room, he invented all these little gadgets. He had all these little gadgets that he invented for cooling, things of that nature. A fan, you know, a fan that was run by like a foot, I think, or something like that. I can't remember. Yeah, you know, with pedals. And he invented all these things. So it was pretty incredible that the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was just an incredible person. And when you go there, you feel his presence, a very, very powerful presence. And also, not too far, just A few steps away from his particular bedroom, there's the samadhi for Srila Haridas Thakur, which is really ecstatic. So just being there, you kind of have to really become overwhelmed with joy, because can you just imagine if you could be there just for one time when they were together and have that association of Haridas Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gaurakishore, that's Babaji, sorry. Yeah, can you just imagine that particular little group and how ecstatic that must have been?
Archita and then Amala Bhakta, and I think that will be enough.
Hare Krishna. Just two quick things. Shukadev Prabhu spoke so nicely about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur being an inspiration for householders, but we should follow his general mood, but not try to imitate. One devotee said to Srila Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed for a ray of Vishnu when he got Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So should householders, before they conceive children, pray for rays of Vishnu? And Prabhupada said, no. First deserve, then desire. And then the second thing was, in the presentation by Achyutananda Swami, there were so many books mentioned, but also obviously wrote a lot of songs, ton of songs. Many of them just wonderful, so wonderful. I mean, my favorite is Vrindavan Shesha. That's why I like going to Vrindavan during Kartik season, because they sing it there every morning. But I think that you were planning to share one of your favorite songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur as part of this, so please don't avoid that. Leave some time for that. I'd really
right.
like to
but
hear
But first, Amala Bhakta.
Hare Krishna.
First, thank you very much for the inspiring talk, Nirantara Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Just hearing it does make one want to extol and praise the glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So my experience with Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in three aspects. As many of you know, I had the good fortune of recording first on tape and now on MP3. The books of Srila Prabhupada, but in addition to those books, I also had the chance to record three of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books. And I became acquainted with one of them called Sharanagati, right in this temple, and Mukundlal had read a few of the stanzas of it. And I was so overtaken, so overwhelmed, so impressed by the devotional spirit that those verses contained that I immediately approached him and said, well, where did you get that? And it was a book that was published by ISKCON Press way back in, I think, the 1970s, if I'm not mistaken. I think Achyutananda Maharaj at that time had worked on it. The important thing that I wanted to mention is that the word Sharanagati, as we all know, means to surrender. And by reading that book several times and by narrating it several times, because it had to be rehearsed, I had the opportunity to understand to some degree the depth of devotion that a person must cultivate in order to truly, completely surrender to Krishna, to his spiritual master. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in verse after verse after verse, he's in that particular book, Sharanagati, he's reflecting upon his life and how he wasted so much time in thinking about so many mundane, worldly, inessential things. Actually, these points really don't apply to him. They apply to us. But he's taking the position of us so that we can identify with what he is saying. And thereby, he inspires us and encourages us and enthuses us to make use of every single moment, every that we can, because in any moment, we may leave this world. And if we don't leave it with our mind fully fixed in the surrendered submissive state of pure love for Krishna and Srimati Radharani and all their great associates, then we have wasted our life. In fact, that's the point that he makes. I have wasted my life. Now, what am I to do? The other book is that Gitavali, which is the most, if anyone hasn't read that yet, should definitely read it. It is the most beautiful pain of glorification to Lord Chaitanya. He goes on and on glorifying so many different aspects of Lord Chaitanya's life. But it's the mood, it's the feeling, it's the song, it's the rhythm, and it's the poetry that Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks in that actually lifts and exalts and raises the heart to a higher and higher level of devotion. And of course, then there is Harinam Chintamani, which gives every different aspect of chanting of the holy name. And all of the offenses, he talks about that in depth. Actually, Haridas Thakur is the speaker of that, in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur is expressing the ideas that Haridas Thakur has expressed in a conversation between Haridas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya. So to find out just about the A to Z of chanting the holy name, Harinam Chintamani is foremost. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur truly is a symbol to us of the great example of the greatest of devotees and who has expressed the devotional principles in such beautiful, eloquent, and absorbing terms that we cannot get enough of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I made sure not to mention that, but as long as you did, and now I feel comfortable and I can start selling. But yes, anybody who wants it, whether you have money, you don't have it, doesn't matter, because every devotee should have it. And if you want that, no problem. I just need to get one person, if there's going to be devotees who come and want this Sharanagati Gitavali, that means somebody has to make them up for me. I have to give you the disc and just make. I'll give you the blanks also, but all I need is someone to make them up. It is beautiful. The music behind it, for those of you who are aficionados of music, will just love this, the background music that goes with it. It's just perfect. Some persons have heard it in the deity kitchen, and I never stop receiving their thanks for it. So that's the best advertisement I can get. Oh, thank
any
you,
of
Archibald.
The Matajis have anything they want to say about Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Okay, so this is my favorite of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. I like almost all of them, but this one I really like. With great enthusiasm, I spent my time in the Vidyara Vilase. With great enthusiasm, I spent my time in the pleasures of mundane learning and never worshipped your lotus feet, O Lord. Now you are my only shelter. Reading on and on, my hopes grew and grew, for I considered the acquisition of material knowledge to be life's true goal. How fruitless those hopes turned out to be, for all my knowledge proved feeble. Now I know that all such erudition is actually pure ignorance. All the so-called knowledge of this world is born of the flickering potency of your illusory energy, Maya. It is an impediment to the execution of devotional service to you. Indulgence in mundane knowledge verily makes an ass of the eternal soul by encouraging his infatuation with this temporary world. Here is one person who has been turned into such an ass, who for so long has carried on his back the useless burden of material existence. Now in my old age, for want of the power to enjoy, I find that nothing at all pleases me. This is what I'm personally going through right now. Yes. Life has now become agony, for my so-called erudite knowledge has proven itself to be worthless ignorance. Material knowledge has now become a pointed shaft and has pierced my heart with the intolerable burning pain of ignorance. O Lord, There is no treasure worth seeking in this world other than your lotus feet. Bhaktivinoda abandons all his mundane knowledge and makes your lotus feet the sum and substance of his life. Shall we end here, assembled Vaishnava devotees? All glories to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.